is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Congressional Democrats plan to continue pressing the White House for an independent investigation into how an undercover CIA officer's identity was revealed and will hold closed-door talks with the officer's husband to further their efforts. Democratic officials indicated that Joseph Wilson himself plans to talk to the House Democrats in their weekly caucus meeting in the Capitol on Wednesday and will speak to reporters afterward. Democrats said that a special investigator is the only way to ferret out the problem due to the leaker potentially placing so many lives in danger. According to a senior law enforcement official, Ashcroft has not ruled out appointing a special counsel. The ranks of the uninsured swelled by 2.4 million last year as more Americans lost their jobs and health care coverage while insurance costs kept rising. The number of people without health insurance rose to 43.6 million, an incredible jump of almost 6% from 2001. This was the second consecutive annual increase, according to the Census Bureau, in a report being released Tuesday. The percentage of Americans without health coverage rose from 14.6% to 15.2%. The Bureau reported a survey last week that found more people fell into poverty and median income declined in 2002, even though the recession was said to have ended in late 2001. Despite the fact that the FDA has not approved any medicines from Cuba for import, cheap Cuban medicines fill Miami cabinets. The Cuban government recently made it even easier for tourists to get medications manufactured there via a new pharmacy kiosk at Jose Marti International Airport in Havana that dispenses all types of drugs without prescriptions for U.S. dollars. Most U.S. enforcement efforts are concentrated only on drugs that are intended to be resold in the United States for profit. Independent candidate for California Governor Arianna Huffington bowed out of the recall race on Tuesday to focus on defeating the recent vote and Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid for governor. The recall election is scheduled for next week on October 7th.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Smokers in France, embarrassed by cigarette packs with large government warning labels on every side, can now purchase colorful designer covers to hide the ugly packs. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They're messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these Frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it, and that's why we're being kept in the dark.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I didn't think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Truth Seekers, Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Phone number 800-TALK-YES. And if you'd like to email, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. A little bit later in the program, we're going to play Guess the Word of the Day with Simple Scotty McClellan. His press briefing today. This would be very easy. No prizes, because it is so easy. And, we're going to talk about the Limbaugh flap. Interesting sidebar for me, just in my little life. I was interviewed today by a writer for National Review. Yeah, National Review, William Buckley's magazine. The writer says he is doing a piece on liberal talk radio, and so we chatted. He called me, we chatted, and Limbaugh came up, and repeatedly, as a matter of fact. So we'll see what happens when this article comes out, if it comes out. I've had writers do pieces on this program or me or liberal talk in general, and they never see the light of day because an editor will look at it and say, well, no, we can't put this in our magazine. This is just too liberal. We'll see. Got an email from Mark in Birmingham, Alabama. Mike, I have an idea for your show that might help you lower your blood pressure as well as that of your listeners. Your show is on awfully late, and I'm sure it gets your listeners mighty fired up right before bedtime, which might lead to insomnia. Yeah. Here's how I propose you change that, Mark writes. The last 5 or 10 minutes of your show should be dedicated to comedy. You can play clips from various late-night talk shows such as Letterman or Conan O'Brien, of course, The Daily Show. I think this would be a great way for you and your listeners to cool off right before bedtime. We'll consider that. If you have a comment about that and want to call Kathy and let her know, we'll think about that. Do we have to deal with copyright laws? I guess not. Let them sue us, right? From Bob in Farmer City, Illinois. Mike, I listen on dial-up also and had constant problems listening. I was using real audio. One day I found your show on my iTunes on radiopower.org. Its broadcast at 16 kilobytes per second allowed me to listen with fewer cutouts. Since then, I listen almost every night. You might want to let other dial-up listeners know about radiopower.org. From Bob in Farmer City. Thanks, Bob. I have mentioned that several times. I am not computer literate enough to understand why the streaming from radiopower.org might be clearer or less interrupted than the streaming from ieamericaradio.com, but if that's the case with dial-up, then switch. Now, for those of you who do get this program on radiopower.org, or those of you thinking about getting it from that source, let me tell you again that Shelby LePre, the woman who runs that site, who gets not a dime from IE America Radio or moi, radiopower.org is on the verge of disappearing. And I've mentioned this a couple times this week, and I don't know. I haven't talked to Shelby. I don't know if anybody has responded by sending a few bucks. This is a typical liberal thing. We don't. Who has money? Who does liberal or progressive talk or facilitates the production of or the transmission, I should say, of liberal or progressive talk? So if you do listen to through radiopower.org, you might want to just think to yourself, well, hell, this is like subscribing to Time Magazine. It costs $10 and send it to her. I get pitched 15 times a week for funds, you know, through the mail, on emails, through regular mail. You know, liberal cause this, liberal cause that. Jesus, if you contribute to everything that the liberals ask for, you'd be broke. And I know that. And especially in Bush's economy, it's hard to do. But I'm just suggesting that if you listen via radiopower.org, you got to support the site. Okay? Okay. From Jody in Arlington Heights, that's Illinois, right? Yeah. Mike, I'm listening to last night's show on White Rose. I'm listening on White Rose because I had to watch the Cubs. What is Scott McClellan talking about when he says anonymous media reports? Robert Novak said two senior administration officials, so far they're anonymous and desperately trying to remain so, but the media report isn't anonymous. Robert Novak wrote it, and the accusation that Karl Rove was the wormtail who did this isn't anonymous either. Joe Wilson has been very public about it, quote, and when I use that name, I measure my words, end quote. So what is Scotty blathering on about? Joseph Wilson is putting his reputation and any career on the line with nothing to gain. Well, except the removal of these criminals. And then Jody goes on, I still have that icky feeling in the pit of my stomach that this will not get them either, the Bush crime family, because of the fact that Ashcroft is doing the investigating. I feel this administration is going to come down with a collective case of SS Sergeant Schultz syndrome. I know nothing. And Ashcroft will say there isn't enough evidence to go any further. But being a Cubs fan, I still have some hope. Hey, that puts me in a weird situation, Jody, because, you know, you're playing in the playoffs against America's team, the Atlanta Braves. Oh, well. James Hatfill, did you catch this? James Hatfill, the guy who has been identified by... too stupid to be Attorney General John Ashcroft, the religious fanatic, the Crisco kid. He was identified as a person of interest. Remember that? The new chief, this is according to, Associated Press? Or no, WJZ Television. The new chief of the FBI's Washington field office, Michael Mason, says he believes it was wrong to call Stephen Hatfill a person of interest in the investigation into the deadly anthrax attacks of 2001. John Ashcroft was responding to leaks in the investigation when he first identified Hatfill as, quote, a person of interest. Hatfill has never been charged in the case. The former scientist is currently suing the FBI. Hatfill blames the agency for, quote, unfairly making him a public target and for its harassment, close quote. Okay. Condoleezza Rice stepped up and sent a letter to Bob Graham, senator from Florida, who... chaired the Senate Intelligence Committee last year, co-chaired it. And she says in this letter to the U.S. Senator, received yesterday, that no more information on 911 is going to be released. Period. All the stuff that was blacked out and redacted is going to remain blacked out and redacted, and Bob Graham can pound sand up his ass if he doesn't like that. The letter that Rice sent to Graham was in response to his request that classified portions of the report be made public. And if you remember, that report released in July included a blank 28-page section that dealt with whether there was any Saudi or other foreign government ties to the September 11th plot. Rice said, quote, Our ongoing intelligence and law enforcement investigations into the September 11th attacks would not be served by making public the details of particular individuals' locations or methods, which may still be under investigation, plus the fact that the Saudi royal family are business partners of my boss, George Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush, and all these other criminals, all these other white men who operate this criminal enterprise called the Carlyle Group. So, listen, Senator Graham, I am real sorry. I really am. But the answer to your question about releasing more information is no! The spokesman for Graham said, this is a disservice to the American people. Senator Graham feels strongly that they deserve, that's us, you and me, they deserve to know about the potential involvement of foreign governments in the plot that led to the tragedy of September 11th. Well, that may be a spokesman for Senator Graham, but the Bush crime family is more interested in covering its ass. They will never release the information. Never. Ted is calling from Portland, Oregon. Hey, Ted.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, you know, I actually turned on network news for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah?
And because I just said, you know, this is going to be interesting. And so I flipped on Brokaw, just happened to be the one there. And I just couldn't believe it. It's just like...
Okay, what happened?
It was just, they were laying out how grave and serious this whole Valerie Plame affair is.
Oh, my God. It's beyond belief.
I just didn't expect it. And, I could just see that there's just this firestorm going, and it just took my breath away, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Hold on a second. Give me just a second here. Larry Johnson, who is a CIA, former CIA agent who worked with Valerie Plame, was on Buchanan and Press on MSNBC earlier this evening. Mm-hmm. And Larry Johnson, it was very interesting television to watch, because what was happening, Larry Johnson was blowing the whistle on the other co-conspirator or conspirators who worked with Karl Rove. And it appears, and this was said right on television, Louis Libby, Cheney's chief of staff, that the phone calls, according to Larry Johnson, the phone calls, at least one and possibly more of them, outing Valerie Plame, came from... it came from the old executive office building. And then Buchanan, who used to work for the White House, said, I know the building very well. Was it on the second floor? Yes, it was on the second floor. That's where the vice president's office is. Yes, it is. That's where the vice president's office is. So it appears that not only Karl Rove, but also Louis Libby, that this was a tandem, coordinated effort, just like Karl Rove always does, to destroy people, to gut them, to rip their entrails out and scatter them across the tarmac.
Yeah, right. This White House just doesn't want...
Oh my God. So Press and Buchanan are sitting there going, do you understand what you're saying? And then at one point Press said, well, you heard it here first on MSNBC. Now, immediately after Larry Johnson, they had someone else on, the guy that wrote the book on Karl Rove, Bush's brain.
James Moore.
Yeah, one of those two writers. There were two people that wrote it. And he said, that all may be true, but nothing happens in this administration without Karl Rove signing off on it. So the point he was trying to make, yeah, Louis Libby may be one of the vicious bad guys in this, but that does not mean that Karl Rove is not the leader of the pack. Let me put you on hold a second. Ted will come right back. We got to do a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I've had enough of reading things, but I knew what it's like. gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life, great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In the guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work, to a mall, to the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brain Shrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
24 past the hour. We're talking with Ted in Portland, Oregon, about the story that is not going to be spun into non-existence, and that is the revealing of the CIA undercover agent's name and yada, yada, yada. Now, where were we?
Yeah, I actually want to talk about that in Limbaugh and some stuff, too, and in a minute. But the thing I want to mention is I got an email from someone saying basically expecting the two senior administration officials who contacted Bob Novak were Hadley and Libby. And then this person also says at one point, if my suspicion is right, this is a far greater political scandal than Karl Rove contacting Robert Novak. It puts political retaliation in the office of the Vice President and National Security Advisor.
Well, I have a question. Since when this illegal, corrupt administration took power in this country, they made a big deal about, we will tell the truth.
Raise the tone.
Yeah, all right, how about this? This seems to me to be so just blindingly simple. George W. Bush calls every single staffer into a meeting hall someplace, rent a gymnasium in a Washington, D.C. high school, get them all together, and then Bush stand on the stage and puts his hands on his hips and looks out over the 150 or 200 people sitting there, and he says, okay, I want to know right now, did any of you leak this to Bob Novak? Now, if they all say, no, Mr. Bush, we didn't, well, that's the end of it, right? Because these people don't lie.
I don't think...
Do they? Do they lie? Aren't they all about telling the truth? So that's all he has to do. Is get them all together and say, did any of you do it? And when Karl Rove and Louis Libby, all the way down to some pencil sharpener that works in the White House, works on the White House staff, when they all say, no, sir, we didn't do it, then it's all over. And American can get about back about the business of going down the tubes in the Bush era. Because they all tell the truth, Ted.
Well,
no, that won't work. Okay,
no. Wait, now this logic is, I'm losing it. But I got
never mind.
What?
Never mind.
to get even to have Bush to get up there in front of that, you'd have to get a lot bigger sock to put down his pants. I mean, you know, he's like missing everything that, you know, the three escorts of Dorothy didn't have in The Wizard of Oz. You know, a conscience or a heart and a
brain,
courage.
Courage. Yeah.
But anyway, what I want to get to, because I know we're running out of time, one thing is these attacks on Wilson. I mean, there was, you know, and even Scott McClellan saying, well, I've seen some comments of his. What does Wilson's credibility at this point have to do with the fact that there
Nothing.
Was a leak to discredit his wife?
Nothing. But
completely unrelated.
Not just discredit her, put her life at risk.
Put her life at risk. And they talk about, oh, they care about national security and protecting the people. And they don't care about, obviously, protecting the people or protecting other citizens of the world from terrorists if they're going to burn a bunch of CIA agents. And I used to think all the CIA was evil. But there's a lot of good stuff in there. The part that isn't run by the Bush crime family, you know, the drug-running, you know, covert part. But there's a lot of good part. There's even good parts in the Director of Operations.
Too bad
part of it was co-opted by a bunch of freaks, you know.
So the answer to the question, what was the point? Why did they do this? This is how Karl Rove works. If you cross Karl Rove, don't forget, Joe Wilson, after coming back from his trip to Niger, wrote an op-ed piece in was Washington Post, New York Times, one of the two, where he stated categorically that the Bush crime family's position on uranium coming from Niger to Iraq was absolutely not true.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, once you cross Karl Rove, your ass is toast. He will do whatever he can to destroy you. If that means destroying your wife and all of her contacts because she's an undercover CIA analyst or operative, it doesn't matter. That's Karl Rove.
No, It's all about them. They don't. All their platitudes about national security are.
It's all
bogus.
It's all bat squeeze.
They're con men.
Bat squeeze. Ted, got a boogie. Thank you.
I'm just worried about the
quick
Limbaugh and this whole thing is.
We'll get to it. Right after
distraction. You know, think of the Ten Commandments thing.
We'll get to it.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Ted.
Tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Time is running out for a new contract between 71,000 grocery store workers in Southern California and the stores they work for. The workers, members of the United Food and Commercial Workers, are quite unhappy with the contract proposed by the stores, which would freeze pension funding and place more of the burden to pay for health care on the workers with no compensatory raise. The contract expires on Sunday. The UFCW is telling its members at grocery stores to save as much money as possible, as strike pay is a pittance. The stores already have signs up advertising for temporary replacement help.
The fate of the 40-hour work week is in the hands of the House of Representatives. When lawmakers take up a health, education, and labor spending bill today, they'll decide whether or not to include a measure that would prevent the Labor Department from exempting millions of American workers from the right to overtime pay. Organized labor says those changes would cost a net 8 million American workers their right to time and a half pay. Nevertheless, President Bush has threatened to veto the entire $138 billion spending bill if an amendment protecting overtime pay survives both houses of Congress.
25 former workers on a factory fishing boat are being sued by the company they worked for, accused of mutiny during a fish processing expedition in February. The men, all from Washington State, staged a mini strike on the ship after the captain tried to increase the already grueling 16-hour workday by half an hour. When they were fired and taken back to land, the workers sued, claiming the company infringed on their right to organize for a safer workplace. Now the company, Premier Pacific Seafoods, has countersued, wanting the workers to pay for the vessel's downtime during their rebellion. It says the workers committed mutiny, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison, and the remedy it seeks is a slap on the wrist by comparison.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Michael is calling from TakeBackTheMedia.com. He's calling from Santa Barbara, California. Michael, welcome to the program. By the way, thank you very much for what you and Don are doing with the newscast on our network now. We really appreciate it.
Hey, it's great. It's great being on the network. We appreciate you guys a lot.
So, now what is this, something about the National Review interview that I mentioned early in the program?
Oh, you were talking about the National Review, and our our site was in there along with all the others, the Bush Haters article by Byron York.
Yeah, well, he's the guy I talked to.
Is he the guy?
Yeah. And
him a noogie for me. That guy's a clown.
Well, I'm real curious to see two things. A, if the article even runs.
Yeah.
B, how it'll be spun. You know, we talked for, what, Kathy, 45 minutes today, half hour, 45 minutes. I'll be curious to see how this turns out.
Oh, you're all boring. You liberals are all boring. That's
yeah.
The thing.
Yeah. Well, he had gone to my website, and he saw on my main page some of the titles that I come up with that link to stories that I cover. And he wanted to know, he said, do you think it's a good thing, or do you think the public will respond when you call the attorney general? What did I call him the other night, Kathy? I don't know. Just the way I express myself on that web page.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you have to be kidding me with a question like that.
They don't get it.
I said, what happened in this country during the Clinton administration? Bill Clinton was accused of murder. His wife was accused of being a lesbian, but she had Vince Foster murdered because, I guess she was a lesbian, liked to go both ways. Hillary and Bill were responsible for 36 deaths in Arkansas, just Arkansas.
That's what they were saying in the review, all these Clinton haters before,
right.
But the vitriol towards Bush is nothing like the Clinton stuff. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well.
These guys, I'm surprised Clinton's still walking around the way these guys were talking.
The double standard with these thugs, to me, is gagging and cloying. When you get somebody on the air like me, and I admit, a lot of radio stations are not going to take this program because I say what I say. But
called the First Amendment.
Well, not only that, I'm not, a middle-of-the-road kind of Alan Combs, what's the other side of the story?
Well,
I don't give a damn about the other side of the story.
That's what Don and I were talking about. I'm tired of these brown rice burning liberals. The only thing we can do is get back in their faces. We use their tricks against them.
There you go.
There is no other way to do it but to go after these guys. They will use your decency against you, and it's time to get them.
That's it.
There's no way around it.
That's it.
We do with our at our site with my animations. I go after these guys.
Oh, you do some unbelievable stuff. I have to tell you, Michael, some of your Flash animations are just stunning.
Did you see the latest one today? This is the other thing we need to do. We need to make protesting fun.
Yeah.
This is what Abby Hoffman did.
Right.
We did a little Abby Hoffman thing in Santa Barbara this last weekend in front of hundreds of protesters. My friend at Walden3.com has a 1937 Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
I dressed up like Dick Cheney with a suit and a mask. He dressed up like the chimp in chief. He was wearing an Alfred Newman mask and a flight suit with AWL in the back.
Yeah.
And we also had Colin Powell in the car with us.
Oh, my God.
We drove around throwing handfuls, wads of 911 deception dollar bills out the back of that car.
Oh, God, I wish I lived in Santa Barbara.
We'll see, money.
If you do something like that here in Atlanta, your ass is going to jail, dude.
Oh, we had cops helping us. They were with us. They loved it. It's on the website. If you go, we just put the link up. I made a flash of it.
TakeBackTheMedia.com.
TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Okay, everybody who's listening via the internet now, please go and check it out, and I will at the next break.
Oh, don't forget to check out Voter Revolution. I also did one on the Diebold thing.
Wait, what's that site?
That's Take Back the Media. I've got a brand new flash on the. It's called Voter Revolution, which can be
Voter Revolution
okay. Or Voter Evolution, either way.
Okay.
And this one's about the Diebold and the touchscreen thing.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you don't get there and start screaming your heads off about this, listen, you get a receipt from your ATM. Diebold makes your ATM. There's no reason why you can't get a receipt from their vote machine.
Right, absolutely.
If you don't get a receipt, you didn't vote.
Right.
Imagine if an ATM didn't give you a receipt. Would you be angry? How much is your vote worth?
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm taking over. I'm carjacking your show here.
That's all right. You guys are geniuses. If I had one-tenth the talent that you guys have, I'd probably have a well-paying job.
Well, we don't have a well-paying job. Well, wait, we do have that news job.
That's right. Yeah, right. For the IE America Radio Network. No, I'm sure they pay you seven figures, right?
Yeah.
And they're all very small.
They're all 911 deception dollars.
I hear that.
Out the back of the car this weekend.
Well, thank God, Michael, you guys are on board. I start every show at 9 o'clock Eastern time with the headphones on for the first time in a long time because I don't come on until about 7:30 past the hour, and I put the headphones on to listen to hear what Don has got to say for that newscast. So thank you.
Oh yeah.
And I'll let you know what happens with Mr. Brian York.
Oh yeah. Well, give him a noogie. Tell him this for me. You're dorks.
We're
cool, and you guys are dorks.
Already had the interview today.
Oh.
Right.
Maybe he'll call you back to get that follow-up.
Yeah, maybe he will. Michael, thank you.
All right.
All right,
good
sir.
Talking to you. Keep it up.
Thank you.
You
keep it up, too. TakeBackTheMedia.com. You all know about that site. A new flash video there, huh? Okay. All right. Okay, it's going to take a second to get to the Limbo story. Kim is calling from Finland, Minnesota.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Kim.
Yeah, hear about the $30 billion for Deutschland Security that's coming up here?
No. What's this now?
I just heard it on public radio driving back from work. They're gonna try to allocate $30 billion,
yeah,
if I got it right, for our homeland security.
This country is more insecure now than we were on September 10th, 2001. One of the biggest scams ever perpetrated on the American public is this homeland security
thing. Oh, it's really getting depressing, actually. In the trickle-down economics, we ain't seen nothing yet.
You know, Kim, depression is nothing more than repressed anger.
Oh, yeah, believe I just plastered my truck last week with bumper stickers.
Yeah.
On the front, on the bug shield.
Yeah.
I got one that says, this starts with a B. It says, Buck Fush.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
Well, I was really surprised. I drove to Duluth the other day. People were flashing their headlights, waving, smiling.
In Minnesota?
Yeah. You know, and
all those good Lutherans out there.
Even some loggers up here, you know, who I know voted for the jerk, you know, and they changed their mind.
Well, he's in a world of hurt, and
I think it's all going to start sticking here pretty quick.
I think so. I think the Teflon has worn through in Bush's history. My argument is we ought to get rid of the bastard before he's defeated in the next election, if the voting machines work. If he ought to be impeached and tossed out on his ass.
Oh, that was the other bumper sticker I have in the back. It says, we don't have a democracy. We have an auction.
Yeah, that's good.
Get a lot of laughs on that one.
Yeah, we just got one from me. Kim, thanks for checking in, Pat.
Oh, hey, one other thing.
Yes.
I watched this Chat the Plan the other day on WorldLink TV.
Yeah.
And they had Iraqi kids live.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd all rather have Saddam.
Well,
their life is a mess.
It's understandable. It's just like George Herbert Walker Bush said one time about Manuel Noriega before we invaded that country. George Herbert Walker Bush said, yeah, he's a dirty, rotten son of a bitch, but he's our dirty, rotten son of a bitch. And I would imagine the people of Iraq right now are feeling probably close to the same thing about Saddam Hussein. He may be a filthy tyrant, but he's our filthy tyrant.
You know, and hearing Bush lately...
Yeah.
Gives me that same feeling that I get when a fart goes liquid.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Kim.
All right.
Talk to you later.
You'll see you.
All right, Kim. Ah! I thought Minnesota was full of Lutherans who behaved themselves. Whew. All right, this is going to be difficult to do, but what the hell about Limbaugh? You know what he did? He made the comment about Donovan McNabb, pro football player, quarterback. As you may know, if you follow professional football, I don't follow it that much. I am not a sports fan. I stopped being a sports fan around the time that the professional sports became nothing more than a sick, money-grubbing marketing tool. For overpaid sports professionals. It produced a whole class of television commentators that, I don't know, these are grown men, right? But I still, you know, like the Cubs and the Braves, you know, I'm going to pay attention to that. Super Bowl, sure, you know, I'm an American, what the hell? But Donovan McNabb has been to 3 straight Pro Bowls, 2 consecutive NFC Championship games. He was runner-up for the National Football League's Most Valuable Player in his first full season as a starter. Now, here's the article from Sports Illustrated, SI.com. Before McNabb led the Eagles to a 23-13 victory over the Buffalo Bills on Sunday, commentator Rush Limbaugh said on ESPN's Sunday NFL Countdown that the fifth-year quarterback is overrated. Limbaugh's comments sparked controversy for their racial overtones, right? If you want to say somebody's, man, he doesn't deserve the $30 million they're paying him, fine. The statement is made. The boy sitting behind the desk on the set can talk about it and you move on. But Limbaugh went on. I don't think he's been that good from the get-go. I think what we've had here is a little social concern in the NFL. The media has been very desirous that a black quarterback do well. There is a little hope invested in McNabb, and he got a lot of credit for the performance of this team that he didn't deserve. The defense carried his team. You know, he's a black quarterback. Now, Limbaugh, I understand today, subsequent to this little Limbaugh firestorm, said either on his program or he doesn't do interviews. He said it somewhere that he repeated the statement again. See, Limbaugh is a racist down to the bottoms of his feet. He is a racist pig, among other things. But in stating it this way, in stating it the way he did, he coughs back up his history. Now, a couple of years ago, when he was being considered to be color commentator, no pun intended, on ABC's Monday Night Football, there was an outrage. So ABC said no. Now, ABC owns ESPN.
Right.
But they weren't going to let him on ABC's Monday Night Football. According to veteran sports writer Michael Wilbon, who is black, quote, his, Limbaugh's, views on people like me are well documented, and I would find it insulting and hypocritical to watch him. There are tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of fans who feel the same way I do. Now, where did Limbaugh get the reputation? Is this just more liberal slandering of an American icon, the holier than Christ himself, Rush Limbaugh? When he started his career one time, Limbaugh told a black caller, "Take that bone out of your nose and call me back." After he became nationally syndicated, he said one time on the air, "Have you ever noticed how all composite pictures of wanted criminals resemble Jesse Jackson?" In 1992, on his TV show, Limbaugh expressed his anger when Spike Lee urged that black school children get off from school to see his film Malcolm X. Limbaugh said, "Spike, if you're going to do that, let's complete the education experience. You should tell them that they should loot the theater and then blow it up on their way out." What did Limbaugh say about the NAACP, a group with a 90-year commitment to nonviolence? Quote, "The NAACP should have riot rehearsal. They should get a liquor store and practice robberies." When Carol Moseley Braun, Democrat, Illinois, she's now a presidential candidate. When she was in the U.S. Senate, the first black woman ever elected to the United States Senate, Limbaugh, anytime he mentioned her, would play the "Moving On Up" theme song from the Jeffersons. Limbaugh claims that racism in America, quote, is fueled primarily by the rantings and ravings of people like Jesse Jackson, end quote. How about his ugly little reference to a couple of years ago to the father of Madonna's first child? The guy is a Latino. And Limbaugh says, "Oh, yeah, they had a baby. You know, he's a gang member type guy." A guy who had no gang background at all. But what the hell, he's a Latino. So that automatically makes him a gang member. Rush Limbaugh is a racist pig. Once, in response to a caller arguing that black people need to be heard, Limbaugh responded, "Hey, they're only 12% of the population. Who the hell cares?" Thanks to Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting for that information. Now, one thing that Limbaugh may consider, his comments may not play very well among NFL players, 70% of whom are Americans of African descent, partly. Eh? Maybe, I don't know, maybe they ought to get Deion Sanders or somebody to pay this racist pig a visit and just say, "Hey, fat boy, let's talk for a second." Yeah. All right. God, I hate talking about Limbaugh. Oh, my God. God, I hate. It just feels like I don't know what I would imagine it would feel like if you had roaches crawling around inside your mouth. You know what I'm saying? Is that almost as bad as Kim's statement about? No, I'm not going to say it again. But the guy is just unbelievably anti-American. He is unbelievably a racist, a sexist, a classist, all of it, all those terms that he loves to make fun of, he is them. Now, back to this betrayal, this treasonous act by people in the Bush and Cheney White House. On Hardball last night with Chris Matthews, had the Republican National Committee chairman Ed Gillespie. Matthews. Don't you think it's more serious than Watergate, this, when you think about it? Gillespie. I think if the allegation is true, to reveal the identity of an undercover CIA operative, it's abhorrent, and it should be a crime. It is a crime. Matthews. It'd be worse than Watergate, wouldn't it? Gillespie. It's, yeah, I suppose in terms of the real-world implications of it. There you go.
For Imaism, restore the moral fundamental core. We'll cut the debt and start a tet, a pencil on the poor. It's a mystery in the making.
Everybody!
It's distinctly upper class.
Well, not everybody.
Yes, sir, I'll get the door, roll the carpet on the floor. For a man.
For a man.
For a man.
Such a man.
For a man. With his hand up his...
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Talk radio right from the left. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, 800 Talk Yes is where we are. The other thing, I had a senior moment there. The other thing that that Rush had said subsequent to that comment on ESPN, I believe this was on his program today, too, but he said he's not surprised that people are reacting the way they are because, after all, sports commentators are all liberals, just like the rest of the media. Now, there are a lot of sports commentators are going to want to know what the hell he's talking about with that one, but that's Rush. Rush is a lying pig. Mike is calling from Mountain Park, Georgia. Mike, welcome to the program.
Well, Mike, this is my second night to call, and I'd like to request status as a Mountain Park Bureau Chief.
You got it.
Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go to Drudge, and I quote, Rush Limbaugh in drug ring. Housekeeper wore wire in setup. Supplied pain pills to deaf talk show host.
That's on the Drudge Report?
Tens of thousands of pills.
You're kidding.
Check it out.
Now, where... all right,
that's all he's got. He has no other stories. He just has that.
Okay, I just flipped over. It also says, New York Daily News set to splash page one tomorrow, sources tell Drudge. Really?
So I know you were tired of talking about Rush, but looks like he's going to be in the news a little bit longer.
Oh, my God.
Let's see, Robert Bennett?
So there's a, I can't wait. Oh, this is going to be a news day tomorrow, a New York Daily News. Now, isn't that a...
semi-tabloid, but
yeah, that's not the Murdoch paper. No, that's the Post. New York Daily News.
But then the National Enquirer to allege in Bombshell also. So it's a multi-pronged attack here.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't. I may have to listen to him tomorrow then and hear him squeal and heave and fart and gag and choke and scream his way out of this one. This is lovely. This is just lovely.
His heart may not make it. He may be off the air tomorrow. I mean, he may not be able to take this, you know. He's on drugs.
Oh, my God. Well, it never fails to amuse me when the mighty, you know, when Jimmy Swagger got caught with a hooker. I thought that was just amazing.
Jimmy Swagger got caught with a hooker?
Years ago.
Well, I guess the thing to do is to go to Newsday and National Enquirer websites and all the good stuff.
There you go. Mike, thanks for checking in.
Sorry to divert your evening.
No, you added to it. Mountain Park, Georgia Bureau Chief. Thanks for checking in, Mike. All right. Take care. Quick break. We'll be back. Don't forget, the word of the day, you have to figure it out when we play the Scott McClellan soundbite. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The ranks of the uninsured swelled by 2.4 million last year as more Americans lost their jobs and health care coverage while insurance costs kept rising. The number of people without health insurance rose to 43.6 million, an incredible jump of almost 6% from 2001. This was the second consecutive annual increase, according to the Census Bureau, in a report being released Tuesday. The percentage of Americans without health coverage rose from 14.6 to 15.2%. The Bureau reported a survey last week that found more people fell into poverty and median income declined in 2002, even though the recession was said to have ended in late 2001. Congressional Democrats plan to continue pressing the White House for an independent investigation into how an undercover CIA officer's identity was revealed and will hold closed-door talks with the officer's husband to further their efforts. Democratic officials indicated that Joseph Wilson himself plans to talk to the House Democrats in their weekly caucus meeting in the Capitol on Wednesday and will speak to reporters afterward. Democrats said that a special investigator is the only way to ferret out the problem due to the leaker potentially placing so many lives in danger. According to a senior law enforcement official, Ashcroft has not ruled out appointing a special counsel. Despite the fact that the FDA has not approved any medicines from Cuba for import, cheap Cuban medicines fill Miami cabinets. The Cuban government recently made it even easier for tourists to get medications manufactured there via a new pharmacy kiosk at Jose Marti International Airport in Havana that dispenses all types of drugs without prescriptions for U.S. dollars. Most U.S. enforcement efforts are concentrated only on drugs that are intended to be resold in the United States for profit. Smokers in France, embarrassed by cigarette packs with large government warning labels on every side, can now purchase colorful designer covers to hide the ugly packs. More news after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
Fried potatoes and catfish are old hat to Texans at what is being billed as the largest state fair in the United States. This year, 8 new fried foods are debuting at the fair, among them fried Oreo cookies and fried candy bars. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism. And these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They are messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it. And that's why we're being kept in the dark.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. All right, I want to play something for you now. For those of you who go to The Guardian of the United Kingdom, you are familiar, that newspaper, you're familiar with the reporter who covers a huge part of the U.S. beat, most notably Washington, D.C., politics, and that would be Julian Borger. He filed a report with the BBC, I believe yesterday. And the audio now, a little part of the audio is making its way around the internet, and of course we glommed it up. I want you to listen to this. A little bit dodgy, the quality, but I think you can get the gist of what Julian Borger is saying.
Naming a covert CIA agent is illegal in this country. It's a felony. And so the claim is that someone in the White House committed a felony by making these calls. And the finger has pointed so far at Karl Rove, who is the political maestro in the Bush team. And there is no one closer in political terms to Bush than Karl Rove. And several of the journalists are saying privately, yes, it was Karl Rove who I talked to. Now, the thing is that the journalists are not going to name Karl Rove publicly because you don't name your sources, and to do so would discredit them as journalists.
And I have no problem with that. I've made it very clear on this program that I think journalism in this country has gone right down the tank, or into the tank, or down the chute, or whatever. But there are still a few outstanding journalists who are Americans, who work for American media, and even a couple on television, believe it or not. But Julian Borger's point here, Or the focus of what he's saying, several of the journalists are saying privately, yes, it was Karl Rove who I talked to. the connection between Karl Rove and Louis Libby. Now, Louis Libby, of course, is, the chief of staff for Dick Cheney. And the former CIA operative who worked with Ms. Plame, the agent that was outed, said on, like I mentioned earlier, said on press Buchanan and Press Tonight that it was Louis Libby who was involved in this. Now, the phone calls apparently came from both the White House and the OEB, Old Executive Office Building, which is on the grounds of the White House. It's just, 25 steps away. So what we have here is a concerted effort. Now, why? Why was this done? 8 days after Joe Wilson published his op-ed piece in the New York Times, 8 days after was when his wife was outed by these phone calls from the White House and from the old executive office building, from the office of the president, office of the vice president. Now, as much as Bush tries to say, well, we're going to get to the bottom of this, why didn't he do something then? Huh? This has been an open secret, not even a secret, in Washington, D.C., since July 14th, July 18th, whenever that op-ed piece appeared by Joe Wilson in the New York Times. Aside from that, oh, God, let me get my breath. It's just astonishing what is going on here. The issue is being raised. Why would they do this to a woman who has no connection other than the fact that she's the wife of Joe Wilson, former ambassador to Iraq, one of the last people to speak in an official capacity to Saddam Hussein years ago? Why would they do this to Valerie? Is that her first name? Valerie Plame. The answer is very simple. This is a warning, as though one were needed, to reporters, journalists, TV reporters. It's a shot, not across the bow, but right into the midsection of the ship by Karl Rove and Louis Libby. If you screw with us, if you don't do what we tell you to do, you independent little journalist bastards, this is what we're going to do to you, or worse. Now, that's what this is about. What other reason would Louis Libby or Karl Rove have for identifying this woman as a CIA-covered CIA operative and her sources? Now, Al Martin is reporting that already X number of people have been terminated with extreme prejudice, people in foreign countries who have operated or who have worked with Valerie Plame. Maybe not. Who knows? Al Martin seems to know things that the rest of the world doesn't seem to know, right? He has his connections. But the reason for this, the whole reason for it, is the reason that Karl Rove was crapped out onto the political stage 20 years ago. This guy is a vicious thug. He will stop at nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, Washington Post conducted a poll. 7 in 10 Americans, 69%, believe a special prosecutor should be named to investigate these allegations. 69%. This poll was taken right after the Justice Department announced it opened a criminal probe into the matter. The survey found also that a large number of Americans, 68%, had heard of the allegations. And the vast majority of those, 83%, labeled it a serious matter. Goodbye, George. Goodbye, Carl. Goodbye, Dick. Goodbye, Lewis. Goodbye, Wolfowitz. Goodbye, Rummy. The results of the Post-ABC poll found a high degree, according to the Post, of suspicion directed toward the administration over the allegations. 72% thought it likely that someone in the White House leaked the operative's name. And in what could be a politically significant finding, only 29% said the investigation should be handled by the Justice Department. 69% favored a special counsel with autonomy from this administration. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've been wrong for months, saying that the American public is asleep, that we don't care, we become apolitical. Maybe it's just been boiling and bubbling right beneath the surface. Maybe it took a criminal act like this by these thugs for the American people to say, this is enough. This is enough. Now, interestingly, and this speaks volumes about how most people see this moron who's the appointed president. Most respondents did not hold Bush personally responsible for the matter. Only 34%, one in three, thought it likely that he even knew what Rove was going to do, what Libby was going to do. 34%. That means, what, 56 or 66% of us figure that Bush is so stupid he's not even running his own administration. Well, duh! But see, I don't believe that. I'm with the 34%. George W. Bush and Karl Rove spend an awful lot of time together. Neither one of them goes to the bathroom without the other one's permission. So I put me in the 34%. I believe Bush knew exactly what Rove was going to do. Now, the view that this is a serious matter, according to the Washington Post, transcends party lines. 72% of Republicans and 83% of independents and 90% of Democrats said it was at least somewhat serious. How can something be somewhat serious? You don't put a modifier with serious, do you? That's like putting a modifier with unique. You can't do it. Well, that's the most unique thing I've ever heard. No, moron, you can't do that. And how can something be somewhat serious? Oh, well. In addition, 56% of Republicans found it likely that White House officials leaked the name. And Republicans, by a 52% to 42% margin, favored a special counsel. See, this is like when the Republicans finally went to Dick Nixon, back when the Republican Party still had a modicum of decency about it, and said, Dick, pack your bags and get your ass out of the Oval Office. You're toast. Now, the Post article goes on to say, Americans exhibited little tolerance of the classified leaks and those responsible. If a White House official is the culprit, 91% believe that person should be fired, and 82% believe that person should face criminal charge. And 1%, that would be me, believes he ought to be put in front of a firing squad. How's that, huh? How about a cage down in Cuba? How about that? You're compromising U.S. security, Carl, or Lewis, or both of you. How about that? What do you think Ashcroft would do to somebody named Hamdi or somebody named Padilla? Well, he would probably make sure that they go to the brig where they cannot even see an attorney. What about Karl Rove? Oh, that's right. That's not an Arab name. What about Lewis Libby? No, that's not an Arab name either. Here are two thugs, two punks, who compromised not just U.S. security, God only knows, who Ms. Plame worked with in what country to get what information. Her specialty was weapons of mass destruction. So what do you think, truth seekers? Do you think Karl Rove and Lewis Libby and the rest of these thugs are going to wind up in a dog cage down at Gitmo? Huh? You think so? Or maybe in the brig over in Charleston, South Carolina or someplace? Huh? The poll was taken last night. Have I mentioned yet tonight that I hate these people? I haven't? Okay, well, I just did. Now, Carl Novak, this was in the Sun-Times today, and of course, Novak writes for the Sun-Times. Robert Novak. The legal affairs reporter for the Sun-Times says that the columnist Robert Novak is unlikely to spend time behind bars for printing the name of the CIA employee, and whoever it was who leaked him the name is also unlikely to do jail time, legal experts predicted. The only time a government employee was convicted and sent to prison for leaking information to the press was in 1985 when Samuel Morrison, a naval intelligence officer, gave satellite photos of a Soviet ship to Jane's Defense Weekly. He served 2 years in prison. It's also rare for journalists to be jailed for refusing to divulge sources who leak them classified information, unless, of course, it's a liberal journalist, and they've been held in contempt, right? And jailed. Washington attorney Bob Bennett, you remember him, Bill Bennett's brother, Bob Bennett, the one who tried to defend Bill Clinton against charges that he had sex when he shouldn't have or whatever. Bob Bennett said, I think it is most unlikely he, Novak, would ever be compelled to reveal the source. Knowing Bob Novak as I do, Bennett says, I am confident he would never reveal the source. I think it would be most unwise for the Justice Department to push a confrontation with him. That is certainly a possibility if he's held in contempt of court. if a court orders him to reveal information, but hopefully cooler heads will prevail. Former White House counsel Abner Mikva, who lives in Chicago, said regarding Novak, he's jeopardizing people's lives. I consider leaking agents' names a really serious offense. Was always having dirt to play around me.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on the fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really miss the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They are messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these Frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it. And that's why we're being kept in the dark.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. And by the way, remember James Hatfield, the guy who wrote Fortunate Son? Our excellent webmaster, Mark Marshall, emailed this into us very quickly. You remember that book. It was the one that came out prior to Bush's fake presidency, the one that covered his drug and alcohol use and his failed businesses and so on and so on and so on. And you also know that James Hatfield committed suicide. He named his source for the material. Guess who it was? Karl Rove. Guess why that information was put out? It was put out by Karl Rove to minimize, to deflect, to say, well, that's old stuff. Anybody that brings that up subsequent to my talking to James Hatfield, they're just bringing up old stuff. We've already been through that. I don't worry about it. Karl Rove is an evil genius. He was a disciple of Lee Atwater. Lee Atwater, who totally, before his death of a brain tumor, totally corrupted the political system in this country. To the extent that as he lay on his deathbed, you all know this story, as Lee Atwater lay on his deathbed in North Carolina, he asked the American public for forgiveness for what he had done with his filthy brand of attack politics. Too late, Lee. It was too late. I'm not saying it's too late for forgiveness. Maybe people who heard your plea forgave you. I don't believe in deathbed requests forgiveness. I just don't. Sorry, don't. I think they're bogus.
Oh, God, I'm about to end. Please forgive me.
Who cares? You're about to end. What difference does it make? But Lee Atwater was Karl Rove's guru, Karl Rove's mentor. Every filthy trick that Karl Rove has perpetrated in the past 20 years, he has learned sitting at the feet of Lee Atwater. I wonder if Karl Rove's going to get a brain tumor. What do you think? Joel is calling from West Virginia, South Charleston. Hey, Joel.
How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Not to change the subject, but...
Usually people say that just before they change the subject.
Okay, to change the subject.
Okay.
There's a new commercial on our TVs right now, and it's just flooding every TV station.
In your market, in West Virginia?
In my market, yeah.
Okay.
It's basically a commercial that shows a couple steel industry workers, and it gives a couple Bush quotes about how he told the world that steel here was going to basically just thrive and that his policies are helping the steel industry. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end of the commercial, it says... call the White House and tell them that you support Bush's initiatives for steel and how they're helping America. And I just find that really amusing, considering that every steel plant here in West Virginia has gone bankrupt over the last several years. And they were all hedging their hopes on Bush when he came here in 2000 and campaigned about how he was going to salvage our industry, and now they're laying off, and they're talking about the workers are taking cuts in pay, and
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's horrid, and I think it's sad to see that the election propaganda is already starting up for them here.
Well, let me ask you something. Did it say any place in the ad that you saw, and if not, you might want to check this out, who the ad is from?
Oh, at the end it does say paid for, and I can't remember. It says...
Because sometimes this is the kind of an ad that, let's just speculate here. Maybe the United Steelworkers Union is running this ad, and what they want you to do, it's irony. They want you to call the White House and say, hey, thanks for your wonderful policies, thinking that steelworkers or people who live in the steel-producing sections of the country will understand what's going on here, that Bush is destroying the steel industry. It could be that. Let me put you on hold to come right back, Joel, because we have to take a quick break here. Stay with us.
Living here in Allentown, and they're closing all the back
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Highway crews in Iowa use native plants to fight roadside weeds. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Roadside managers in Iowa are thinking of spring already. They're planting seeds of native wildflowers and prairie grasses along state and county roads. It's all part of an effort to make the land along Iowa's roadways more friendly to the environment. Kirk Henderson oversees this project with the Native Roadside Vegetation Center at the University of Northern Iowa. He says state legislators created the program to protect Iowa's groundwater from pesticides. A lot of the chemicals came from farm use, but Henderson says road crews also sprayed herbicides in ditches along highways. They just wanted to kill weeds, but the chemicals ended up in the groundwater.
So they developed a program for reducing herbicide use in the roadsides, and it came about that the main focus of that program was using native prairie vegetation, the prairie grasses and the wildflowers of the original tallgrass prairie in roadsides.
Henderson says the use of native plants keeps the weeds from taking over.
And then it also has these other more colorful benefits, prairie restoration, restoring some of our lost natural heritage, creating habitat for songbirds and butterflies, and taking advantage of what is really a lot of land that runs throughout the state and doing something more interesting, treating it more like a resource.
Henderson says about half of Iowa's 99 counties have adopted the roadside program. He hopes more people who do highway maintenance will give this idea a try. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, we are talking with Joel in South Charleston, West Virginia. Now, where were we?
Well, I was just saying,
about this ad. There's a possibility that the ad is designed to cause a flood of phone calls and freak out the Bush White House.
Well, it's actually, at the end, it's paid for by a PAC. So, I mean, I saw that it was a political action committee, and it didn't look like it was a steelworkers one. But it just harkens back to the 2000 campaign when he came here and made all the promises to the steelworkers. And,
sure.
You know, it's just a rust belt up there now. And it just, I mean, there were so many lies that he told in West Virginia. There was he had released a letter here in 2000 of all his supporters, and one of his supporters he listed was my priest, for example. And my priest had actually came out in the newspaper stating that No, he never endorses anybody, and the campaign said, oh, well, it must have been a mistake, we apologize, and they kept issuing that he endorsed them.
Sure, sure.
And it's just been nonstop garbage like that, and I'm wondering, you know, whichever Democrat's going to face him, I mean, are they going to fight back this time?
I certainly hope so. The herd mentality that now exists with these 10 Democratic contenders seems to dictate that they're attacking each other. Rather than, like good Republicans, if there were 10 Republicans running against, trying to run against, say, Bill Clinton, they would all be on the same page. They would all be saying the same thing, that Bill Clinton is a mass murderer, Bill Clinton is a rapist, Bill Clinton, you know, yada, yada, yada. So as far as Bush's lies, you know, I've issued a challenge on this program to anybody, liberal or conservative, who wants to call this program and state for the record one thing that Bush promised during the campaign in 1999 and 2000 that he fulfilled. There has not been one single thing. So the fact that he came to West Virginia and lied, and West Virginia went for him.
They sure did.
Yeah, West Virginia voted for him. Do you think West Virginia is going to vote for this bastard again?
Well, it's scary because there's so many people around here who, you know, this is a military state here, and, you know, there's
well,
so
it's
many...
all, but it's also a factory state, a manufacturing state. I don't know what the unemployment is in West Virginia.
It's bad.
Yeah, I'll bet it's really high, Joel. You know, I'll ask again, whether it's West Virginia or Georgia or California, what does it take? How many times do we have to be hit upside the head with a 2x4 by this thuggish administration before we say enough and get rid of them?
Well, if you keep hearing, I mean, you keep hearing how the Bush administration now is talking about how coal is going to be the salvation. So as long as they keep talking about that, they'll get West Virginia's votes again.
Well, fool me once or whatever he said. I just hope that the citizens of West Virginia don't get fooled again.
Well, I'm ashamed to say there's a lot of fools in the mountains.
Well, there's a lot of fools across the country in all these so-called red states. Hell, I live in one, Joel. Trust me. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, the people of West Virginia suffering through the Bush crime family's manipulations of domestic issues, whether it's education or employment or health care or environmental issues, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bush is a liar. Everyone around him is a thug, a con artist. A lot of them are murderers, and some of them are mass murderers. They're filth. And I just hope that the people in West Virginia and Georgia and Iowa and New Hampshire and Michigan and Illinois and Oklahoma realize this and throw him out. Now, several of you are bringing up this issue about the Limbaugh story overriding the Valerie Plame story, right? You know how we are in this country. We have the scandal du jour. I kind of disagree. I don't think Drudge was put up to this. I don't think, you know, the thing that's supposed to be in the Daily News tomorrow about Limbaugh's drug habits. I don't think Limbaugh got a phone call from Karl Rove, and Karl Rove said, hey, say something racist you're getting paid $250 million. On your five-year contract. So say something, or is it a 10-year contract? Say something that will divert attention because they're starting to the sharks are starting to close in on us here in the White House. So go ahead, Rush. Say something. I don't think that's the case. But Ted says, how old are those tapes by Limbaugh's made? The one, the so-called, you know, sting tapes where Limbaugh is ordering up hundreds of thousands of pills from a maid, I guess. Ted says, have they been sitting in Rove's special file for a while to be used only when they are really needed? Just like J. Edgar Hoover and William Randolph Hearst had their own special files to be used when necessary. Maybe someone in the Inquirer sat on them. Maybe I'm thinking too conspiratorial, but it sure looks weird how every time there's a scandal that threatens to really rock the Bush regime, some other huge story breaks. Well, you may have a point, Ted. But Anna emails in the following. Mike, the two big stories today combine in an amazing wingnut confluence. Limbaugh is in trouble for doing what has made him a multimillionaire. He just did what he does every day. He made the equation of media equal liberal equal Negro lover. White supremacy is Limbaugh's entire shtick. Next, there is the wingnut attack on former Ambassador Joe Wilson. They contend that Novak only looked into Wilson's qualifications because he was contradicting the great leader. They wanted to know, who is that evildoer? Simple inquiry. So what did they do? They did the white supremacist thing. First, they depicted Wilson as a girly boy who only got the assignment because his wifey poo made the recommendation. Then what did they do when Novak blew Mrs. Wilson's cover? They did the white supremacist thing. They smarmed Miss Wilson as a silly secretary. They implied that she had some lowly desk job. In other words, they dissed her as a stupid woman. So you see, in today's news of the from the Flying Monkey Ride has become entirely clear. They are nothing but racist, sexist, white supremacists trying to hide under the moniker of conservative. Conservative my ass. Anna. Well, thank you, Anna. Thank you. One thing the Novak column has done, it has now put every journalist in the country, who was it here, who is this guy? Hold on, give me a second. Jeez, I'm not as good as Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity, so I have to look here for a second. A spokesman, I guess for the Chicago Law School, said that media lawyers will be watching this case for another reason, the Novak, Wilson, Rove, Libby case. Quote, an interesting question is whether the government will use the power it now has under the USA Patriot Act to do surveillance of journalists who may have some knowledge about this with or without their knowledge. I don't think we can rule that out as a possibility. End quote. I just wonder, sometime in the past, I'm so old I remember when if you pissed off an investigative journalist or if you pissed off the journalist community in general, if you made half-baked statements about, stay in line. The journalist community would come after your ass. Remember Gary Hart? When Gary Hart was considering a run for the presidency. And everybody knew Gary Hart, liked the women, had girlfriends, cheating on his wife, the whole thing. And it kept coming up and kept coming up. And Gary Hart kept avoiding it. And finally Gary Hart issued a challenge to the media. Yeah? Think you guys are smart, huh? I dare you to find out something about any of this stuff you're talking about. Well, they took the challenge, didn't they? And they found out. Jane Kirtley, professor of law and media ethics at the University of Minnesota. She's the one who said, an interesting question is whether the government will use the power under the Patriot Act to do surveillance of journalists. You never know about Karl Rove. Karl Rove's brain is not a simple mass of cells. Karl Rove's brain is like a squirming mass of snakes and spiders and poisonous bugs and little tiny 3-inch tall demons from hell. It is just a mass of swirling evil. There has to be more here in Karl Rove's brain than just deciding to get back at Ambassador Joe Wilson by outing his wife and putting her life and her contacts' lives in jeopardy. There has to be more. Will we ever find out what that more is? I don't know. Do you think we will? Trey is calling from Dallas. Hey, Trey.
Hey, Mike. I agree with you on... I'm part of the 34% too. I don't think the other 66% remember or made up know that George Bush was a enforcer for his father's campaigns from way back.
Right.
And also...
To say something like this happened with George Bush out of the loop, I realize George Bush is a dumbass, but to say something this extreme happened without Karl Rove and Louis Libby and Cheney and Bush is to beggar the imagination. I just I agree with you. I'm in that 34%.
Yeah. And also the stories or legend around here about how after he became governor, he'd call state legislators into his office for, you know, take them out to the woodshed. And, they would be shocked at the way he treated them behind doors. And, of course.
Bush or Rove?
When Bush was governor. I'm talking about George Bush himself.
Yeah, okay.
He was governor. People would be shocked at the way he treated them behind doors. Of course, he wouldn't act like that in front of doors. So, yeah, I tend to believe that he knew what was going on. That he knows the drill. He's been there before. He knows how to do all.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Ronald Reagan was a different story. Reagan, I honestly believe, was such a he lived in such a fantasy world. He couldn't keep straight his movie roles from reality. He couldn't keep straight old films that he had seen from reality. There's a part of me that believes, a part of me, a very small part, that believes, for example, that Reagan was out of the loop where it concerned Iran-Contra, that was Ali North and Secord and Poindexter. That was their gig, and they just kept old Ronnie out of the loop. With George W. Bush, that's not the case. You know, this, hi, I'm a common man from Texas. That's bat crap. He is an elitist thug from wherever the hell he's from, Maine or Connecticut or whatever.
Connecticut,
yeah, he went to the best schools. He's a spoiled rich boy, like so many spoiled rich boys, never had to work a lick in his life, never had to take responsibility for anything he did, but he has that Machiavellian, evil, snake-like mind, just like Karl Rove. It is not by accident that Karl Rove is Bush's brain. Karl Rove comes up with these sick plots and then runs them by George, in my opinion, and George says, yeah, that sounds good, Carl. Let's just get the sons of bitches. Yeah, go ahead. Let's do it. And the language, you know, people say, well, Mike, you know, you get a little loose with your language. If people knew how George Bush and Karl Rove talked.
Yeah.
I mean, the F word, the MF word, just everything you can think of. And, of course, these are Christians, right? These are people who believe that Jesus is their number one philosopher. The hypocrisy of these people is so thick, I don't know, it's almost like armor on them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you got to hate the two-faced, hate people being two-faced like that. I almost said hate people, but yeah, two-faced people like that, they act one way in front of a crowd, but behind closed doors, they're totally different personality. And I guess that's why I hadn't had a good feeling about him from the word go anyway.
Yeah, I hate liars and I hate sneaks, and Karl Rove defines both. This whole Bush administration does. Hey, listen, thanks, Trey. Thanks for checking in, pal.
You bet.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Okay, what do we do with the rest of the show? I know, we're almost ready to do to play Guess the Word of the Day with Simple Scotty McClellan. I don't think we have time to do that, though, right now, do we? No, we'll have to wait just a few more moments. I have been taken to task by several female and male listeners to this program because I always talk about our boys in Iraq, our boys in Afghanistan, and taken to task rightly so. I'm sorry, I've slipped into that. But another U.S. soldier was killed in a roadside bombing in near Tikrit in Iraq, and she was female. Another American soldier dead in Iraq. This was a riot that occurred in front of an Iraqi police station when, I believe CNN reported, hundreds if not thousands of demonstrators showed up. They were promised jobs. You know, the Bush crime family has effectively produced 100% unemployment in Iraq. 100%. And they were promised jobs, so they showed up. U.S. troops fired warning shots to disperse stone throwers, people who were pissed off. They were outside an Iraqi police station. Now, it doesn't say here in the Associated Press story how many people were killed, if any were killed. That was in Baghdad. In Tikrit, one of our troops, a woman soldier, was shot dead. Later, Wednesday, today, earlier in Iraq, of course, U.S. troops fired warning shots to disperse stone throwers outside a Shiite mosque in southwestern Baghdad. Now, the Shia are supposed to be our natural allies. It was the Sunni Muslims who the Sunni Triangle and Saddam, although he was certainly not religious, was of the Sunni branch of Islam. The Shias were supposed to be the people that if anybody in Iraq we could count on them. So what are we doing now? We are being stoned by Shias outside a mosque, and we return fire, only we use bullets. Kind of like the Israeli Defense Force against the Palestinians.
You've seen it before. Where a government lies to a people, and a country is drifting to war. There's a shadow.
I understand that the unrest in the Middle East creates unrest throughout the region.
To the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board. The doorbell rang, and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, "I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary." How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, "Well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect."
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of progressive talk radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, i.e. America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Dave is calling from Hoboken, New Jersey. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
Good. Listen, I got a quick question for you.
Sure. Go ahead.
I didn't do anything today.
Yeah.
That is going to help us get away from the Bush crime family.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow. What can I do? Because I listen to your show, and I get a lot of great energy from you and from a lot of your listeners that call in. What can I do?
Talk. Talk with your friends. Talk with your acquaintances. Your friends, probably most of them think the way you think, but talk with people that you work with, you go to school with, people you meet in the hallway, people that live down the street. That's about all we've got right now, is to keep educating ourselves. I remember what Hugh Romney, who was known as Wavy Gravy back in the 60s, at Woodstock, he got up on stage and he's talking about, there was a mess. There was a sea of mud and very little food, and they brought food out, and Wavy Gravy said, "Man, we gotta feed each other." Right? That's what we have to do. We have to feed each other. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. It's hard. My friend's here. He wants to ask you a question, too. Is that all right? This is Brian from New York.
Yeah, sure, Brian. Go ahead. What?
I'm glad to talk to you. I'm from New York, and New York always votes Democratic. So, I mean, I feel like I can't do anything because we're going to vote against Bush regardless.
Then go across the state line into Connecticut and talk to those people.
Okay, but I mean, in terms of voting, I mean, how can I get the word out to... I mean, I live in New York. I mean, internet-wise or what else?
Yeah, internet. If you have an email list of people that you correspond with, like Dave, you probably associate yourself with like-minded people. But just keep talking about, especially if somebody else brings up to you. Now, I live in a very fertile part of the country to try to convert people. I live in Georgia, for God's sake.
So
I have 1,000 chances a day to say to somebody, hey, look, you know, Bush is a real criminal, and here's your proof if you need it. So that's the best thing I can think to do. Talk with people. Support candidates, senatorial and representatives who in New York, you say New York is a lock for Democrats. Well, maybe, but just keep talking. We just have to keep talking. That's the best I can come up with, pal. Hey, tell Dave thanks for checking in.
I'm right here, Mike. Thanks a lot, man.
All right. Thanks to both of you. Appreciate it. Break time. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
John Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Congressional Democrats plan to continue pressing the White House for an independent investigation into how an undercover CIA officer's identity was revealed and will hold closed-door talks with the officer's husband to further their efforts. Democratic officials indicated that Joseph Wilson himself plans to talk to the House Democrats in their weekly caucus meeting in the Capitol on Wednesday and will speak to reporters afterward. Democrats said that a special investigator is the only way to ferret out the problem due to the leaker potentially placing so many lives in danger. According to a senior law enforcement official, Ashcroft has not ruled out appointing a special counsel. The ranks of the uninsured swelled by 2.4 million last year as more Americans lost their jobs and health care coverage while insurance costs kept rising. The number of people without health insurance rose to 43.6 million, an incredible jump of almost 6% from 2001. This was the second consecutive annual increase, according to the Census Bureau, in a report being released Tuesday. The percentage of Americans without health coverage rose from 14.6% to 15.2%. The Bureau reported a survey last week that found more people fell into poverty and median income declined in 2002, even though the recession was said to have ended in late 2001. Despite the fact that the FDA has not approved any medicines from Cuba for import, cheap Cuban medicines fill Miami cabinets. The Cuban government recently made it even easier for tourists to get medications manufactured there via a new pharmacy kiosk at Jose Marti International Airport in Havana that dispenses all types of drugs without prescriptions for U.S. dollars. Most U.S. enforcement efforts are concentrated only on drugs that are intended to be resold in the United States for profit. Independent candidate for California governor Arianna Huffington bowed out of the recall race on Tuesday to focus on defeating the recent vote and Arnold Schwarzenegger's bid for governor. The recall election is scheduled for next week on October 7th.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them.
Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Smokers in France, embarrassed by cigarette packs with large government warning labels on every side, can now purchase colorful designer covers to hide the ugly packs. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
A GMO is not a hot new muscle car marketed to young drivers. It's a genetically modified organism, and these GMOs are being secretly sold to us through our supermarkets. Thousands of the food products you bring home, especially those made from corn and soybeans, contain these genetically altered organisms, put there not by farmers developing new and better hybrid crops, but by the likes of Monsanto and other profiteers that have scientists in their labs recklessly moving genes among species, including from animals to plants. They're messing with the very DNA of our food supply without even testing the long-term impact of this manipulation on human health or on our ecology. And they're doing it without even telling us that it's in our food. In Europe, Japan, Latin America, Africa, and elsewhere, people have rejected these Frankenfoods, either banning them outright or at least requiring that they be clearly labeled. So why is our government allowing these corporations to use your family and mine as their genetic guinea pigs? Money, honey. The biotech industry knew that U.S. consumers, like those everywhere, would naturally recoil from such tampered foods. So over the last decade, it invaded Washington with its campaign funds and lobbyists. For example, just in the past 5 years, this industry poured $89 million into lobbying our Washington officials and put millions more into the campaign funds of the White House and Congress. Monsanto alone, which now controls 70% of the global market for GMO seeds and has led the charge to prevent labeling of these food products, made $3 million in campaign contributions in this period. 80% of that went to Republicans, and George W. dutifully named a Monsanto lobbyist to be the number two official at the EPA. This is Jim Hightower saying, the biotech giants haven't merely invaded Washington, they've captured it. And that's why we're being kept in the dark.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, as
you
know. I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I got an email here from Shirley. Mike, it is surprising to me to learn through your caller talking about West Virginia's enchantment with WMA still be, or no. It's surprising to me to learn through your caller talking about West Virginia's enchantment may still be glowing with admiration for Bush. They have Senator Byrd and Senator Rockefeller, both Democrats. Their Governor Weiss is a Democrat. Their representative are two Democrats and one Republican. So I ask you, with all of these Democrats representing West Virginia, why do they feel that way about Bush? We've all heard the great oratory from Senator Byrd, and I still say the Democrats have got to do more. Thanks for making that point, Shirley. West Virginia is represented. I guess the people in West Virginia may have thought, like so many people in this country think, that it's good to have two different parties running the two branches of government, executive and legislative. Now, in theory, the judicial branch is supposed to be neutral. And thanks to Ronald Reagan and Herbert Walker Bush and now this punk in the White House, that's not the case. That's not the case. What always intrigued me was Earl Warren, who was a Republican, a former governor of California, was appointed by, Dwight Eisenhower? Because Eisenhower thought he would be, a great conservative. Turns out that some of the rulings passed by the Warren Court in the 50s and 60s And I get how long was he on the court? Were interpreted as being these great liberal judicial interpretations when, in fact, they were legal interpretations. Remember, for those of you over a certain age, which is probably only about 10% of you, that'd be in my age group, you remember the billboards, "Impeach Earl Warren!" And usually there would be pictures of the Ku Klux Klan on the billboard right next to that. So perhaps the people in West Virginia thought, well, it'd be a good idea, since we have all this Democratic representation from West Virginia, that we have a Republican president. Guess what? Folks in West Virginia and Georgia and South Carolina and Tennessee and on and on and on. That's a bogus thought. And Catherine, who at Democratic Underground, she's oaf of office. She emailed this in. It's from USA Today. And it says, in Washington, Ms. Plame was assigned to the CIA's Nonproliferation Center, an organization of analysts, technical experts, and former field operatives who work on detecting and, if possible, preventing foreign proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Cheney and his chief of staff, Lewis Scooter Libby, met with officials at the Nonproliferation Center before the invasion of Iraq to discuss reports that Iraq was seeking to buy uranium in Africa. A U.S. official with knowledge of those meetings said Ms. Plame did not attend, but the former U.S. intelligence official said she was involved in preparing material for those meetings. And as Catherine points out, the question then, how could this administration not know the importance of Agent Plame's work? You see, they are liars. They are thugs. They are killers. Oh, my God. Sebastian is calling from Vista, California. Hey, Sebastian.
Hello, Mike. I've been listening to your show for the past 6 months. I was introduced from my brother, and I've invested as much time as I can listening to your program.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you, Sebastian.
You're the only voice of truth I've heard in a long time, because all I hear around in this area, since we're like a sandwich between several military bases and several neocons,
right,
all I hear is just Rush and Hannity.
Well, that's true across the Fruited Plain. It's not just in... You live near San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just in Southern California. It's across the Fruited Plain, border to border, coast to coast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're blanketed with neocon lies 24/7. But anyway...
Yeah, Clear Channel and FCC.
Right,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I feel just so, like,
weird.
Alienated among my peers, basically.
Right.
I'm the only one that actually talks about this not really recent, but since it's been brought up again, the Karl Rove incident.
Uh-huh.
With the getting rid of this, firing the CIA agent.
Mm-hmm. Well, exposing her, right?
Yeah, exposing like the supposed leak,
mm-hmm,
out of just pure revenge, and
right.
I'm like the only one that even knows about it in my school, really. And it's just.
Are you in high school?
Yeah, high school.
What happens when you talk to your friends, your fellow students?
Oh, my peers?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
just say I'm like some nerd, and they don't even care about what I'm talking about.
Oh my God, really? That's rough. That is hell. I can remember years and years and years ago. Oh, my God. So many years ago when I was in high school, the big thing back then were the writings of people like the prose and the poetry of people like Kerouac and Ginsberg and Ferlinghetti and Gregory Corso, you know, the Beats.
Mm-hmm.
And those of us on the fringes in my class, we used to carry... I used to carry On the Road, a paperback edition of On the Road in my pocket. I used to carry, in my books, I used to carry Catcher in the Rye, J.D. Salinger's book. And I can remember trying to say to people when I was in high school, hey, listen, things are not what they appear to be. Hello. And I went to school during the Eisenhower, the Eisenhower years, when everything was kind of at a standstill. So I can empathize with what you're going through, Sebastian. Back when I was in high school, if you tried to talk to people about things they didn't know, they just kind of brushed you off. Nowadays, you do that, and they will isolate you and maybe kill you. So be careful, right?
Yeah, I'm watching my mouth now. It got me in a little trouble with the last Republican teacher I had.
You got in a hassle with your teacher?
Yeah, she was just an insane Bush supporter.
Oh, that's great.
I know.
That's really nice. Yeah.
She graded me down just because I didn't agree with her.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. Well, don't retaliate. Just finish up your high school and go on where you'll get a real education, and that's in college.
I just can't wait till next year when I'm voting age, because I just hope Kucinich is on the ballot, because that guy is so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're 17? 16, 17?
Yeah, 17.
Yeah. Well, how about Howard Dean? What do you feel about Howard Dean?
Well, he's the second choice, of course.
Yeah. I know a lot of people are having that problem. Dean Kucinich. Of course, now there's Wesley Clark. Things are going kind of crazy out there in California, right? the recall
that,
thing?
Yeah, that big joke. So many... Like, everyone has this primal urge to vote for the guy they love their movies of. It's so stupid. I mean, like Arnold's movie.
It's beyond stupid. I think what it shows, Sebastian, is the total corruption that has occurred by blending entertainment and so-called news. So many of us can no longer tell the difference. Right?
Yeah, I know.
Well, I wish you were voting age now, too. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think... somebody sent me an email. What happens if Schwarzenegger gets the governorship? What happens to Bustamante? He remains lieutenant governor.
Yeah, but not much will be done because it's so different, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the way how it used to be with the elections, that like the person who came second place in the elections would be vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they changed it, because nothing would ever change, because the two were usually very different.
Right, right. Well, hang in there, pal, and I'm real glad you found the program.
Okay.
Keep the faith. Keep talking as much as you can, but don't talk to people, I guess. High school is hell, okay?
Oh, yeah.
High school is Satan's way of saying, this is what hell is going to be like, so you better live a decent life. You understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah, I know.
So just be cool while you're in high school, all right?
Okay.
You know, maybe talk to kids in that don't go to your high school. But, you know, don't identify yourself as somebody that other people can pick on and take advantage of. I mean, it's not worth it, man. High school ends, and then you start living your life. But high school is hell. It is pure hell. So don't get caught up in it, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Sebastian.
I'll call in later.
I hope you will.
All right,
sir. Take care.
Hello? You went to high school in the Eisenhower years? Oh, my God, you're old.
That's not what Sebastian said, although he's probably thinking it. But yeah, Eisenhower was president until 1960, so, you know, it's not that long ago. Where are we? Oh, geez. Oh, here we are. All right. Nancy is calling from East Tennessee. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, Mike. Well, I'm having trouble understanding something.
Welcome to the crowd.
Well, I'm having trouble understanding a lot of some things, but
yeah.
One in particular is if the law is written to exempt people like Novak, journalists,
mm-hmm.
from responsibility when they commit what I consider to be a treasonous act, then shouldn't we maybe rewrite those laws? I mean, I can understand the journalist not having to reveal the sources. That's fine. We can find those sources on our own. He doesn't have to say anything. But shouldn't even a journalist be held responsible?
Well,
when they do something this dangerous? I mean, doesn't that, like, leave America's future security in the hands of and at the mercy of any journalist?
They
would let themselves be used?
Okay, a couple of thoughts on that. First of all, there's a legal dimension to the issue you're raising. There's also a moral or ethical dimension, or both.
Right.
I think Bob Novak violated a moral code by naming this woman, putting her and her contacts in indefinite physical danger. However, I strongly believe, you know, sometimes you have to take the bad with the good. I strongly believe there has to be shield laws for reporters. Otherwise, nobody would come forward with anything. Now, there are people, evil, satanic people in the Bush administration who use a reporter's adherence or involvement in shield laws to get information like this out. This was strictly a revenge thing.
Oh, now,
there were seven, as my understanding, there were six or seven reporters. Only one, Bob Novak, came forward with the story. Now, Bob Novak and Karl Rove.
Go way back.
Yeah, they have a history.
Yeah.
So while I agree with you that, what Novak did was unethical or immoral, that's something he has to answer for inside his own head.
You don't think there's any legal responsibility. I mean, like I say, I can understand
right.
saying to a journalist that you do not have to reveal your sources, although they have locked up journalists in the past.
That's right.
For not doing so.
That's
but,
right.
I mean, I can understand that. I understand keeping your sources.
I know. I understand what you're saying. You and I are...
But on the legal side of it, to me...
Let me put you on hold, Nancy. I'll come right back. We got to do a break here.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody. What do we do with those folks? We arrest them. They are jailed. In some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say, wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
True.
You
what?
Hate me?
I have something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
I glance at the headlines just to kind of get a flavor for what's moving. Rarely read the stories. Best way to get the news is from objective sources. Most objective sources I have are people on my staff who tell me what's happening in the world.
Jesus. Unbelievable, right? We're talking with Nancy in East Tennessee. Nancy, let me finish this up. I think you and I are both on the same page. I am outraged at what Novak did. I don't know what sort of a penalty. The only penalty Novak is going to suffer, if he suffers any, is contempt from his peers. While they will support him, they must support him where it concerns not revealing sources. They are looking at him with...
And I support him on that one.
Yeah, they look at him with utter scorn and contempt because he did what he did. Other journalists who were given the same information chose not to reveal it. Now,
right.
The other side of that coin, had it not been Novak's column back on July 14th. Remember, this story happened July 14th.
Oh, I know.
So had Novak not written what he had written, the Bush crime family would have skated free again, and Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame would have just gone down in flames, and nobody would have known about it. So there's that to consider.
That's true. Right. That's true. I have one other thing I'd like to...
Okay.
Okay. Today, I was painting in my bedroom. I was up on a ladder. Normally, when Bush comes on the TV, I just have to mute it, you know, or
right.
turn it off or something. But I was on the ladder, so I'm listening. Well, that was where he was signing the Homeland Security budget.
Mm-hmm.
And he made his little speech, of course, and it's like $28.9 billion for the next year.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so he was breaking it down, you know, $4 billion here, $3 billion here, $6 billion here, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, $28.9 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That is equivalent to the cost in Iraq for the next 7-8 weeks.
Right.
And this is our budget for Homeland Security for the next year.
And that money, and that money, if it is spent, Nancy, will not make you, nor I, nor anyone more secure.
Not as long as we got Novaks in the world.
That's very true. Nancy, thanks for checking in.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
All right, you have a nice evening. From Diane in Florida, this is in reference to I think it's rather oblique reference, but it's a reference nonetheless to the people in West Virginia who have Democratic representation in Congress but voted for Bush. Diana writes, how anyone who works for wages could support Bush doesn't make sense until you realize that for these supporters, religion trumps all. Bush gives lip service to fundamental Christianity. The televangelists are supporting him, and being followers by nature, or they wouldn't be Christians, they follow. What ought to be a class war in this country is really a religious war. And while they are fanatic in their cause, we are largely apathetic. Should we wonder why we are losing? And will we regain our passion in time? Yeah, good questions. Some of us are not apathetic. Some of us, if we got any more passionate, would wind up in the cardiac care unit someplace. But yeah, that's true. The way Bush, that's why I've said before on this program, if there is any truth to the Christian mythology, if there is a hell, for example, described, maybe everybody who belongs to a certain religion or believes a certain way constructs their own paradise and their own hell, so that when we do lose consciousness on this planet, we go to one or the other. You know, I have no idea. Nobody knows. But if that is true, the possibility that there's a Christian hell, then people like George Bush are, I don't know. Is there a bad spot in hell, Kathy, or is it all bad? Huh? Is there a worse spot? Is there like levels in hell? According to Dante, yeah, there are all, what is there, eight or nine rings of hell. George Bush will wind up in the deepest. Scotty McClellan coming back. Stay with us.
I'll help him round up all the strays. I don't have much to offer him. I'm very small, you see. But I can love
I would never use God to promote foreign policy decisions.
And be the bestest Christian boy in all the whole wide world. I'll be a cowboy, a Christian cowboy. I'll work for Jesus all my days. And on the prairie or in the city, I'll help him round up all the strays.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire-Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Time is running out for a new contract between 71,000 grocery store workers in Southern California and the stores they work for. The workers, members of the United Food and Commercial Workers, are quite unhappy with the contract proposed by the stores, which would freeze pension funding and place more of the burden to pay for health care on the workers with no compensatory raise. The contract expires on Sunday. The UFCW is telling its members at grocery stores to save as much money as possible, as strike pay is a pittance. The stores already have signs up advertising for temporary replacement help.
The fate of the 40-hour work week is in the hands of the House of Representatives. When lawmakers take up a health, education, and labor spending bill today, they'll decide whether or not to include a measure that would prevent the Labor Department from exempting millions of American workers from the right to overtime pay. Organized labor says those changes would cost a net 8 million American workers their right to time and a half pay. Nevertheless, President Bush has threatened to veto the entire $138 billion spending bill if an amendment protecting overtime pay survives both houses of Congress.
25 former workers on a factory fishing boat are being sued by the company they worked for, accused of mutiny during a fish processing expedition in February. The men, all from Washington State, staged a mini strike on the ship after the captain tried to increase the already grueling 16-hour workday by half an hour. When they were fired and taken back to land, the workers sued, claiming the company infringed on their right to organize for a safer workplace. Now the company, Premier Pacific Seafoods, has countersued, wanting the workers to pay for the vessel's downtime during their rebellion. It says the workers committed mutiny, which is punishable by up to 10 years in prison, and the remedy it seeks is a slap on the wrist by comparison.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
They hate freedom and religious tolerance. They hate Christians and Jews.
And members of the Mickey Mouse Club. And Buddhists and Wiccans. And liberals. All right, I want to get to this. If you're on hold, as a whole clutch of you are, bear with me. This won't take long. Simple Scotty McClellan at the press briefing today. Astonishing, once again.
And I want you to, you don't have to call in with this, but see if you can guess what the word of the day is for Simple Scotty. He must have gotten a heavy duty coaching from both Karl Rove, the demon Karl Rove, and Ari Fleischer last night. ABC's Terry Moran begins our little foray here. Terry Moran says, Scott, when did the president first find out that someone in his administration had outed an undercover CIA official? What was his reaction? What did he do about it?
Terry, there is a process in place that was followed. The CIA has a process to look at classified information if it is leaked, and they followed a process, and that process has moved forward. And the Department of Justice is looking into it. I don't know the specific time period, but the process was followed. And the president expects the process to be followed. And that process was followed.
You kind of getting it? Terry Moran presses on, asking, that's what I'm asking about, Scott. I want to know what the president has done about it. This story broke in July. Did he know in July that an undercover CIA official had been outed and that the person who outed that undercover CIA official attributed it to a senior administration official?
That's what it has told you, Terry. The process is in place, and it followed that process. I don't know, in answer to your first part of your question, but the president expects the process to be followed for something like this, and it was. The CIA followed the process, and information has been provided to the Department of Justice. But the process was followed, and that's what's important. The president believes it's important that the process was followed.
You need some more? Another reporter tries, asking, Scott, in the past, the Justice Department has used polygraph exams in sensitive leak investigations. The president said he expects full cooperation. If I work at the White House and down the road in this investigation, the Justice Department came to me and said, we want you to submit to a polygraph investigation, the president would expect my answer to be what?
I appreciate the hypothetical, but that is a hypothetical, and that is not where the process is. The process is that the Justice Department has asked the White House to preserve any and all material related to the specific information they put in their letter.
Okay, I know. You figured it out, right? You figured out what the word of the day is for Scotty McClellan. Process. Now, here's an interesting back and forth with an exasperated reporter. They talk over each other, but you should be able to get most of it. The reporter begins by asking, Scott, this is not hypothetical at all. You say the issue is leaking classified information. So my question is, did Karl Rove or any others in the White House talk with reporters, not leak classified information, but talk with reporters about Mr. Wilson's wife and her CIA status after the initial report by Robert Novak? She was an undercover operative.
I think it was reported. Well, and he said he shouldn't use the word operative. I think the word was operative. So I don't know that it said. I don't know.
My question is pretty straightforward. Did Karl Rove or others have conversations with reporters about Mrs. Wilson?
In what way?
And her CIA.
I mean, there's an investigation going on, and asking everybody to preserve any information they would have related to some of the issues you bring up. I'm not. There's been no information brought to our attention to suggest that anyone leaked classified information, and the president certainly doesn't condone the leaking or the tactics you're suggesting. Make no mistake about it. The president has always held the view that the leaking of classified information is a very serious matter.
And
the process was followed.
Yeah, right. Okay. One last one from Simple Scotty. This reporter asks, Scott, Ambassador Wilson says that he was told by a reporter that Karl Rove said, Wilson's wife is fair game. I know you've spoken with Carl. Does he deny that? There's a legal issue. There's an ethical issue, too. Going after a man's wife is unethical.
There's a process that the administration has in place to address the leak of classified information.
Quack, quack.
I have seen comments from Mr. Wilson.
Quack, quack.
And I have seen him back away from those comments later.
Quack, quack.
It seems to be he said one thing previously about Karl Rove, and then he backed away from it, and now he's saying other things. I mean, there's a changing of the issue here all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, right.
The issue here is, did someone leak classified information? And if so, who was that person? And then the appropriate action should be taken.
Well, thank God, Scotty, you were able to put the question clearly and succinctly, because the White House press corps are just having a hell of a time trying to get you to answer anything, right? Process. The process of the process is in place, and we are going to process the process until the process is so processed that anyone who doubts the processing of the process will have to come to the conclusion that the process has been thoroughly processed. Do you folks understand that? Huh? We're talking about process here. Can you imagine if you had a job as White House reporter sitting in there? These guys must take about 15 or 20 milligrams of Valium before they go into these press gaggles every day. It's just this Scott McClellan is a real piece of work. And if they are taking Valium, obviously they're getting it from Limbaugh. Zachary is calling from San Diego. Zachary, this is your first time calling the program, right?
Yeah, it is.
Welcome aboard.
I'm just grateful I could get on the first time.
Well, here you are.
Yeah, I was first. I wanted to follow up on what that guy Sebastian said.
Yeah.
In San Diego. I'm only 16, and I agree with everything he said there.
You're having problems too with trying to talk about these issues.
I used to when I didn't go to school where I go now,
uh-huh.
But now I go to a much more inner city school, and I'm lucky to have all these great teachers that are just, you know, my history teacher will explain to me about all the things we've done through history, and all my teachers are apparently liberal, and they're much better teachers. And that he must be living outside the real inner city, because I think the city's going for a change.
Mm-hmm.
He's a real Republican stronghold. But when Bush came here for the his little pep rally, you know, $2,000 for a hot dog and a can of Coke,
right?
You know, he would just give a we just made a big protest. And also, is that another factual relapse with the whole what is it we were just talking about? Another thing, like the factual relapse. I always thought that was called the lie, just like I was.
Yeah, yeah. I was always taught that factual relapse is a lie too, Zachary. But then I wasn't taught by spinners in the White House or Rush Limbaugh or media. I was taught by my parents and my grandmother.
Yeah, I was also thought Osama bin Laden was pronounced Osama, not Usama.
Yeah.
I guess that Fox News likes to put a spin on things. I guess. Webster's Dictionary is lobbying the White House now.
Could be. So let me ask you: when you have discussions in your class, we got a bad connection here, I think. When you have discussions in your class, I guess you're talking about what, a history class or English? What classes?
Well, actually, I think all of them. I mean, my history teacher's a real big liberal. And he's teaching us a lot more than any other history teacher I've had. Like,
mm-hmm.
like I used to have 2 years ago, who was a big conservative. He admitted he didn't even vote for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my English teacher joined the Peace Corps, and I'm real grateful for having a better education than most.
What about the other kids? Are the other kids as inquisitive as you are?
Yeah, they're. I don't know. I think before September 11th. A lot of the kids in my class would, you know, call me a geek, just like he said. It was really hard to deal with, but now a lot of the kids agree with me, and it's
yeah.
relaxing. But like you said to another previous caller, you got to spread the word, and it's hard to do that when you're surrounded by people who you think.
Yeah, that's very true. It's easy for me to say because I hide behind this microphone, so I can spread the word. But when you're face to face, especially like I told Sebastian, when you're in high school, you're in a little corner of hell. And you do survive it, and you do get out of it, and then you go on to get an education. High school is not really for education unless you're in a situation that apparently you're in, where you have a peer group that is still wants to hear the truth. They're not brain dead, and you have teachers who are willing to teach the facts of history, whether it's ancient history or contemporary history. So kind of consider yourself lucky. You do, I'm sure, Zachary.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All right, well, cool. Well, listen, how long have you been listening to this program?
A couple of months now. I discovered you over the radio, and now I always try to post on your message boards as much as possible.
Yeah?
And I'm really grateful that, the FCC can't control the Internet like they do with the radio waves.
Boy, is that the truth.
I'm waiting for the day I can hear you on one of the AM stations, local station, but, and all I hear is Hannity or
I hope that happens. Zachary, I'm glad you found the program. Thanks for contributing at MikeMalloy.com, and take care of yourself, okay?
All right, don't be
a stranger. Check in once in a while.
I will.
All right, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Love these teenagers. Love them. Jerry is calling from Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Good evening, Mike.
Actually, from Tulsa. I didn't mean to just leave you hanging in the entire state. From Tulsa!
Green country.
Yeah.
Regarding Simple Scotty McClellan, can I just make this one observation?
Sure, absolutely.
I thought it was kind of funny how he kept, damn those reporters were asking such specific questions. He has to obfuscate. He can't do that when they get so. So he kept holding up his finger like he was my optometrist.
Oh, did you see it today?
Yeah, and the question is, no, look at my finger. Look, focus on my finger. Look at my finger.
What's important here, Jerry, is that we make sure the process is followed and processed. And the process is all important because the process will eventually take us to the point the process always takes us.
And we're supposed to get confused by looking at his finger, and that's part of the process. Yeah.
I'd like to show him a finger. But anyway.
Michael.
Yes.
Anyway, I think Limbaugh and, the girl, blonde commentator, what's her name? God, they both look like they've been doing crank a lot.
Oh, you're talking about Ann Coulter?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, heaven and hell.
Yeah.
Personal experiences of and definition of regarding references to movies and the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, hell is a real place on the map if you look at ancient maps of Jerusalem.
Right.
Because Christ refers to it as the Valley of Gehenna.
Yeah.
And the Valley of Gehenna actually existed outside of one of the gates of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And it was where the people threw their
dead
chamber
people?
Pots. Do what?
Threw their what?
Chamber pot refuse.
Oh, they're chamber pots.
Yeah, and they're garbage and whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it actually is a real place.
Yeah.
And it's the valley that you really don't want to be going through at night or whatever.
I wouldn't think. The smell must be horrible.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's why they call it hell. Or
yeah.
Gehenna.
Yeah.
But, I kind of believe it's, I believe it's kind of like they say in, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yeah.
That heaven and hell are just kind of the places that we ourselves create.
Yeah.
In terms of our own concept or whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think most people in most societies, advanced industrial societies, primitive societies, we all seem to share some weird fear of death. And
right.
It's therefore an absolute requirement that one of the first things we do is establish some sort of reality beyond this fleeting moment of life. Otherwise, we'd all go mad rather than just, accepting that and exploring it. The Buddhists say every day when you wake up, it's good to say, hey, today would be a great day to die.
And in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, they are hosted through the journey by death. I forgot his name.
Yeah.
But again, that's George Harrison thing, a friend of mine. If you ever go back and learn his song, The Art of Dying, my God, that's a beautiful song, spiritual. And again, George Harrison, just what he's meant to us since his life. But anyway, Kevin, just real quickly, I think God is really ironic in terms of what's going on with Bush. Bush is liable to get, because heaven really, they don't really talk about it in the Bible so much. They don't really reference
it.
Right. And it kind of comes down as from the Crusades. Like in medieval texts, like in Beowulf and whatnot, we start having Western concepts of what heaven really would be, and it's actually a translation of the Shiite construct of the heaven of Uris that Ali al-Din used to have in his castle up in Alamut.
Now you're getting pretty deep for a radio talk
where,
show.
Where he was smoking the really good hashish and having the 70 virgins, which is what Shiite al-Islam is all about, which is the predominant religion of Iran.
Yeah.
And that is what heaven, that is where our Western definition of heaven primarily comes from.
Well, I'll...
And go ahead.
I'm just going to say I'll accept it.
And, well, as a smoker myself, I kind of like that heaven. It's kind of interesting that Hell Jorge of the Junta here.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting that he's kind of doing Iran's bidding right now.
Yeah.
Whether or not he knows it or not in Iraq.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw, but Khomeini's grandson was in town. He was on C-SPAN over the weekend.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
Yeah, I did not. I tried.
Really
to,
interesting.
I try to stay away from news programs on the weekend. That's the only time I have where I can do sane things, like work in the garden, go to Kroger's. That's supermarket. Yeah.
Well, what's really creepy is he has his grandfather's eyes. I'm serious.
Jerry, thanks for checking in.
Ciao.
All right, sir. Ooh. All right, we are rapidly losing time here. Brian is calling from Norman, Oklahoma. Is that near Tulsa, Norman? Brian?
No, it's about 100 miles to the southwest.
Well,
OU, University of Oklahoma, the whole...
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. Well, hey, Brian.
Hey, man. Really enjoy your show. I just had a really quick comment, and maybe a little vindication I see for you on the horizon from having that astrologer on.
Geneva, Bart Kopp's astrologer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked Kathy, and I'm sure you recall the comment that she made about Bush. For some reason, she couldn't foresee him in the picture on the for the 04 election. So, I mean, not to be too giddy, not to get too excited, but...
Yeah, I think Geneva said something about his Jupiter was in retrograde or something, and that just is all kinds of hell.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about any sort of violence or any of that. Just get him impeached. Get him out of there, man.
Part of me has always had the suspicion that given enough outcry that George Bush might be able to hear, he would lose it completely and might even just stalk off the stage and say, "That's it, I've had enough, I'm out of here. I don't have to put up with this, I can go run an oil company." You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, that guy couldn't plan a trip to the mall if it weren't for Rove. I mean, I don't know. Thanks, man, I really appreciate your time.
All right, thank you, Brian. Good to hear from you. Quick break, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Well, they all like what W's done. I know that you will too. George W. Bush. We'll give the country a push. Put us back on the road to what's right and true. George W. Bush is gonna give us a push. He's the man who'll do what's right for me and you. He's the man who'll do what's right for me and you.
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Boy, I remember the good old days.
Yeah, when was that?
2003, of course, when interest rates were at historic lows and we knew the economy was turning around. What an historic opportunity. We really jumped on it. How'd you do?
Well,
we needed to expand our manufacturing and warehousing, so we called General Steel Corporation and ordered buildings engineered for our area and to meet our needs. And with the stucco and rock products provided by the General, our buildings look great.
How will you look back at this historic opportunity? Small business owners know that now is the best time to build that new warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $50,000 or a 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need to expand your business, you need the General. If your church or school needs to build quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step. The look of relief. Spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long-itis. In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health healthier living,
entertainment options for the whole family,
and how to tag team manage kids' career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for The Cooking Couple Show.
And when The Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, two for when you.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're almost out of time here. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Robin, we just had somebody call and tell Kathy that ESPN has announced that Limbaugh has resigned.
Oh, well, praise God and thank Jesus. I think I'm going to go and handle a snake.
If that is the case, and I have no reason to doubt the caller, I just haven't had a chance to confirm it, but if that is the case, it's probably because, you know, maybe a committee of NFL players paid Rush a visit via telephone or email or something and just said, white boy, you better get your ass out of that booth.
I'd like to thank Mike as a West Virginian, because you've kind of had a little West Virginian moment going a couple of times.
We did. We did tonight. Yes, we did.
That a committee of former West Virginia University football players got together and went and visited Rush and said, you know, we got our rear ends handed to us a couple of years straight in a row with that man running all over us, white, black, yellow, green, and indifferent.
Yeah.
And, you know,
we've had enough.
I think we're just going to have to kill you now. But I wanted to throw something out to your listeners, because you've been talking, you've had a couple of West Virginia moments this evening, Mike.
We only have a minute, Robin.
I'm not going to be even, I'll be even
okay,
slower
do it.
Than that.
Do it.
Listen, Kucinich is gearing up here in West Virginia, Mike.
Yeah.
And we need all the volunteers we can get. And I'd like to throw out an email address, please.
Go ahead, do it.
Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid.
Bob Kincaid.
@juno.com.
@juno.com.
If you value freedom, write to it. We need your help.
BobKincaid@juno.com.
Right.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Robin.
See you later, man.
You have a nice evening. Mark? Well, that's all right. No, we have a Mark. We have a Mark here. The program was engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Balicki. Mark Marshall, our webmaster, thanks to Mark, the guy who put the site together, and to our militant mods, our moderators at MikeMalloy.com. Thanks to all of you for maintaining the site and treating it like it were your own, right? And also, as always, a thanks to Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. We appreciate the contribution all you people make. Trust me. Program produced here in Atlanta, of course, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
There's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura